Good morning. It's good to see you all. Thank you for being here. If you're new to our church or you're a guest, I'm Jeff Eaton. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. And we welcome you. We prepare you for today. We are having the Lord's Supper today, and that's going to be the entire service. In the time of the Lord's Supper, we're going to talk to you symbolically about a lot of things, but we serve you today. We offer communion at every invitation, and we offer it to you to come and participate. But today, we serve you, which becomes a picture of the church, is that we serve each other. So I want you to be able to see that, plus a lot of other things. So welcome today. We begin and continue our worship with praying together. And we believe in you participating in that prayer. So would you bow with me before the Father? Will you do that? Would you tell the Father that you love him from your heart to his today? Ever how you describe your love to him. Let him hear from his children. And let your prayer move to gratefulness, to being thankful. Who he is, what he's done, what he's revealed. Just give him thanks. And as we give him thanks today, we are going to be having bread that represents his body given. We're going to be having drink that represents his blood shed. Would you thank him for his sacrifice? And yes, we're going to do this multiple times today. But even in our prayer of thankfulness now, thank him for his body given, his blood shed for us. Thanks for your sacrifice. If you know of someone in need of prayer that you're connected to, your lives overlap in whatever means, lift them up in prayer right now. Stand in the gap for them. Intercede for them. And as you pray for them by name. Include their situation as you present it to our Heavenly Father. In our community of faith, we want you to pray for Hunter Smith. Hunter and his mom and dad come to our church. He's 18 years old. Hunter has been in the hospital. He's home recovering. Pray for Hunter, if you will. We ask that you pray for Miss Helen. She is 95 and a half years young. It's Ann Peter's mother. Remember Miss Helen in prayer, if you will. And then I'm going to ask that you pray for the family of Matt Elam. Matt is Tony Elam's brother, lives in Florida. And Tony and his wife, Tammy, attend our early service. And Matt was 55 years old, passed away. And so Tony is with his family. So would you lift up the Elam family right now? Lift them up in prayer. As we approach the table today, it is a time of renewal. It's a time of ending rebellion, confessing sin, and living again his mercy and his grace. As we prepare for our time together, if there's anything you need to confess before the Father, it's not something that probably needs to be highlighted. It's already been highlighted by the Holy Spirit. Would you take this moment right now before the Father and just agree with him on what the Holy Spirit is highlighting in your life. Just make it a point of confession. We take it to the Father. If we confess, he is faithful to forgive, and we're going to be emphasizing that today. So if there's anything before you that he has highlighted and shown you, agree with him on it. Ask him to forgive you. This table is a table of forgiveness. Our praying is an act of worship. Our giving is an act of worship as well. Today we're only taking up one offering. We usually take up two, but today we're just doing one. So if you're a guest today, we ask that you not give to this offering. It's for our church. And we bless the Lord by giving through His church. And we also bless His church for ministry, for places of worship, the things that we provide people. So if you're a guest today, your attendance with us, your presence is gift enough. If you want to give, certainly we'll take it, but don't feel compelled to give unless you just want to. So I'm going to ask you to pray over your offering today. Would you ask the Lord to bless your offering today? Would you thank Him for the chance to work and to earn and to give and to be generous? Remember, as believers, we don't take shortcuts. We're not lazy. We don't fuss about going 1 mile. We are people who are willing to go the second mile. We are second mile people. That's who we are. So just thank Him for what He has given you and for the generosity you're able to bestow. Around lunchtime or 12, our kids are eating lunch now. They're going to be leaving and heading to camp, Jonathan Creek Camp. And Julie and I were there Thursday and Friday. Our son was camp pastor, and he didn't know we were coming. We were sneaking in to hear him preach and encourage him. So Andrew's headed home as I speak, and then in just a little while, our students are going to be headed that way. Would you pray for them today? Would you pray for them as they travel today? Will you pray for them at camp? Pray for them at camp. And I want to thank you for giving. Your giving takes care of them getting there and back. Some of them couldn't afford to go. Your giving has given them a week of fun and fellowship and then discipleship as well. And pray for our students as they're there, because some will come to faith for the very first time. Some of them will have their faith strengthened. Some of them will have the calling of God on their life specifically. So pray for our students as they're at camp this week. If you're a part of our church, would you look up out of your prayer and look around you, make sure no one is alone? Will you do that? If someone is alone, would you go to them if you haven't met them already and find out their name and tell them yours? Then take their hand, if you will, and pray a blessing over the person left and right of you. Thank the Lord that they're here. I know the Holy Spirit is going to do these two things. He will speak to all of us, and then specifically, He will speak to each of us personally. Would you welcome His voice today? Would you welcome His direction today? He's going to guide you into all truth, and we follow His lead. We are thankful for your presence today, but we are more thankful for His. Let's rest and let's relax in His presence. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. I want to set some things up for communion for you for just a moment. I've already told you that we're going to serve you today, and that's symbolic of the church, of us serving each other. So really pay attention to that. I want you to feel that. Also, when we hand out the bread and the cup, and we'll do it separately, just hang on to it, and we'll all take it together. What is that symbolic of? It's symbolic of the unity that we have in Christ together. So serving you is symbolic of the church. Weight and taking it together is symbolic of the unity that we have in the Lord. The third symbolism today is we do not believe that the bread actually becomes the body of Christ. We believe it is a symbol of His body. We do not believe that the drink actually becomes the blood of Christ. We believe it's symbolic teaching, and I'll be explaining that just a little more. You know, I can take a guess at where you are in your spiritual life today, but I want you to know this is not your table. This is His table. And He invites you to His table. And at this table, whatever your burdens are, your negative emotions, your sin, you lay it down. This is a time of ending disobedience, ending rebellion, and realizing I live in the mercy and the grace of God. This is a time for you to come to his table. It's not ours, and I want to remind you of that again. He's inviting us into this life with him. So if you're here today and you're serving the Lord's Supper, I'm going to ask you to approach the table, if you will. And then as we prepare together, we're going to be taking the bread first and then later on the drink. And then I'm going to be giving you scripture along the way. We're going to worship through his word. We're going to worship through singing and song together. And we're going to do this in remembrance. Two things that Jesus asked of the church. He asked that you remember him in baptism. And when we remember, we look at baptism, we see his death. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. He also asked us to remember him in the Lord's Supper. And we remember his body given, his blood shed, which is his death. I really believe the Lord wants us to think on this more often than we do. I'll show you his teaching in that in just a moment. But our point is, we're capable of forgetting what he has done for us. And today, we remember what he has done for us. On that night, he took bread. And in a minute, we're going to break that bread together. He used it as a teaching point. And I want to show you John 6:35 is a verse that I have chosen. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. I say this at every Lord's Supper that I do, whether it's here or somewhere else. And some of you are going, oh no, he has said that again. Well, good, because I want to imprint this on you. It's the providence of God. It's the sovereignty of God. That Jesus says, I am the bread of life, has a direct connection. And that connection is the city of Bethlehem. This is where Jesus was born. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that he'd be born in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is not only the city of David, and Jesus is out of David's lineage, but Bethlehem itself means house of bread. The word bait, or B-E-T, or B-E-T-H, means house. Lechem means bread. So it is the house of bread. I want you to see the providence of God. Prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, and then later on, Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. It is no mistake that the bread of life is born in a city called the house of bread. We need this. We need this. We need bread. We know that Jesus used it as a symbolic teaching. Even the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. He knew they would be encountering bread every day, so he used it as a teaching guide. He used it as an illustration, hoping that every time they eat bread, they will remember what he did at this supper. He says, I am the bread of life. You're going to eat bread, you need bread. You need bread, you need me. I really believe Jesus is hoping every time they encounter bread, just as you need this, more importantly, you need me, becomes the teaching. So we look at John 6, I am the bread of life, and he's born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. This is about how the bread represents his body, and his body was given to us. For Christ also suffered for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. After being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the Spirit of God. He died for our sins. In the flesh, he encountered death. He did this for all of us. Romans 5:8, it says that God proved his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were unfaithful. We were rebellious. We were disobedient. But guess what? He still died for us. We were his enemy, and he made us his sons and his daughters. He adopted us. That's who he is. Understand when we're talking about Romans 5:8 that he not only died in my place. He not only died for my sins, but he took on the wrath of God. One of the old hymns says that, "For at the cross, for the wrath of God was satisfied." And he knew God's wrath. He knew what it was like. He knew the weight of it. And yet, not only did he give his body for mine, not only did he die for my sins, but he took on the wrath of God that was intended for me. And so on that night, he says, "This bread represents my body that is given. It's given to you, for you." And before he passed it out to them, they gave thanks. Would you bow with me? And let's give thanks for the body given of Christ. Father, we're here to remember your son, Jesus. His body given, broken, tortured, nailed, pierced for us. And today, we remember that. And Father, we also remember of how important this is to our life. Even though we, on this earth, we may live a life of suffering, and we may live a life of sacrifice, that the greatest thing that can happen to us is to recognize your death on the cross for us. If you never give us another blessing in this life, ever, the blessing of you taking my place, dying for my sins, and taking on God's wrath for me is enough. And we remember your body given, and we don't take it lightly. It was an incredible gift for us. So we thank you for your body given. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. On that night, he took the bread and he broke it. We've given thanks for it. And he said, "This represents my body given." So let's remember his sacrifice, his body given. Take, eat, and remember. On that night, he took the drink and he said, "This drink represents my blood that is shed." I want to give you some scripture verses about the blood of Christ and challenge you with this. In Hebrews 9:15 through 22, it's going to talk about the old sacrifice and then the new sacrifice. Please understand, in God's mind, forgiveness of sin can't happen without blood being shed. That is just the offering and the forgiving part. But in the days of old, they did it with animals. Then we know in the new covenant is they did it through the person of Jesus. He became the Lamb of God. Let's read that. "Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, because a death is taking place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Where a will exists, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will is valid only when people die." When you and I die, we're expressing that it's been a life of faith in our life, since it is never in force while the one who made it is living. That is why even the first covenant was inaugurated with blood. "For when every command had been proclaimed by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats, along with water, scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled the scroll itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant that God has commanded for you.' In the same way, he sprinkled the tabernacle and all the articles of worship with blood. But now we're pointing toward Christ. According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So he became the sacrificial lamb. And when he shed his blood, it brings freedom and it brings forgiveness to all of us." I want to challenge you with Acts 20:28. Because with his blood, he bought the church. He paid for the church. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you to oversee as overseers. That's me and our leadership here. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He has bought the church with his blood. I want to get even more personal with you in Ephesians 1:7. It talks about how he has bought you. That's what the word redemption means. We have been bought back. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. He has bought the church, and I know you are the church collectively, but then he has also bought you individually with the shedding of his blood. I want to say this before we get into a verse of Revelation that I want to challenge you with and show you what else the blood of Christ does. But listen to me. Let me make it really simple. I pray to be simple and plain. When you and I willfully sin, you are saying that your desire is greater than his sacrifice. When you and I know, I mean, it's not that you did it ignorantly. It's that you do it and you know it's against God. Do you know what you're really doing when you do that? You're telling him that his act on the cross is nothing. Can I help you out? What he did for me and you on the cross is worthy of our obedience. I mean, when I follow him in obedience, man, I am recognizing what he did for us on the cross. And when I get selfish and live in disobedience, I'm acting like what he did was nothing. Remember, if I live a life of struggle and suffering and never get another earthly blessing, him dying for me is enough. So not only did he buy back the church collectively, me and you individually, this one's going to get you fired up, okay? So hit your fired up button here in a minute, all right? This is what the blood of Christ does and how we overcome the evil one. With the blood of Christ. Let me walk you through it. It says, then a war broke out in heaven. Michael, who was an archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels also fought. But the dragon, could not prevail. And there was no place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. Do you see that line? He deceives the whole world. Some of you are screaming, man, there's no common sense in our world anymore. Where do you think that comes from? If you can come to me politically if you want to on what I'm about to say. But who do you think's behind abortion and the taking of the lives of children? I mean, the whole world, he is messing up, deceiving the way the whole world thinks and reacts. Do y'all see that? That's not the only place that's mentioned in Scripture. There are several other places just like that. And really with John himself, who wrote Revelation, that he deceives the whole world. I've said to Julie many times, where in the world is just good old horse sense anymore? Well, who's getting rid of horse sense? Just common thinking of what's the right thing to do. Who's doing that? The enemy is doing that. He is doing that. So he's the ancient serpent. He is called the devil, Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. Look at this. He was thrown to earth and his angels with him. And they're aggravating the dickens out of us. Right? Okay, so hang on. How do we win this battle? How do we win this battle with the enemy? Then John said, I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God is wrapped up in the authority of his Messiah, Christ. And he has come. Because the accuser, which is the serpent, which is the devil, which is the old dragon, which is Satan, the accuser of our brethren, has been thrown out. The one who accuses them before our God night and day. Just leave that verse there. Listen, let me just help you out. Moms, I want to help you out. You're a good mom, but you hear you're a bad mom. Guess where that's coming from? It's the enemy. He's accusing you. Now, hang on a minute. If you really are a bad mom, he tells you you're a good mom. You with me? He'll give them assurance, keep being a bad mom. Same way with a dad. Could be an employee, could be an employer. It could be right on down the line. He accuses us. He'll say, you can't be forgiven of that. You can't live that life of faith. You can't live under the mercy and the grace of God. The enemy is saying that you're tainted, you're damaged goods. You're going to be that way for the rest of your life. You're just going to have to learn with it. The enemy will go, well, go get your help, but you'll learn to cope with it when the Lord says, I'll heal you of it. You with me? He will accuse you that you can't be the man and woman of God that God says you can be. He will accuse you of that. So how do we fight him? Let's read on, verse 11. They conquered him, the devil, Satan, the old serpent, the accuser. Even in these verses, look at all the names they're calling him. The dragon. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives in the face of death. How do we overcome the devil? By the blood of our Lord. Because in him, He's the holy anointed one. He's the righteous one. And let me help you out here. Satan is never going to shed blood, but he'll shed your blood. He will never sacrifice himself for you. But I want to tell you something. He'll lay you on the altar of the world and he'll sacrifice you, but he won't sacrifice for you. That's one major difference. That's one major difference between he and the Lord. What did Jesus do? He didn't ask you to do anything but to put your faith and trust in him and to receive what he freely wants to give you. He died in your place. He died for your sins. Hang on, and he took on God's wrath, and he knew God's wrath well. For the wrath of God was satisfied at the cross. He didn't ask you to spill anything. He spilled it for you. How do we overcome that? As we remind Satan that we live under the sacrificial cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are marked for him. How do we conquer the enemy? It's by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. For they did not love their lives in the face of death. As we pray, we want to give thanks for his blood. There are a lot more things that it did, but I'm just giving you three today. With his blood, he bought the church. It's his. And with his blood, he bought you. You're his. And by his blood, we conquer the enemy. We are marked as his. Let's give thanks for his shed blood. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Body given, blood shed. And Lord, we know in your offering system that forgiveness requires a blood sacrifice. No longer the blood of goats and animals, but you gave the blood of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb. We thank you that you own the church. And Lord, we thank you that you own us. And by your blood, we can conquer the schemes, the accusations, the work of the evil one. Through your blood, we can see clearly, and we can live freely, and we can live forgiven. We thank you for your bloodshed. It's in your sweet name I pray. Amen. On that night, they took the drink, they prayed over it, which we have done, and they took it. And just remember, as you drink, it's his shed blood is for our freedom and for our forgiveness. Take, drink, and remember. I want you to look at a verse, 1 Corinthians 11:26. We have eaten the bread, we have had drink from the cup. Paul said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until his sweet return, and we await his return. Even though this whole service has seemed like an invitation to you, which it is meant to be that, we extend our invitation. During this invitation, you can respond. There'll be counselors here in the altar to respond to you. For whatever you sense the Holy Spirit is doing, you may be here, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Today is the day that you're able to do that. You can come and surrender your life to the Lord. You're here, you need prayer. There are things going on in your life. It's physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's financial, it's relational. There are people here to minister to you with that and to pray with you, to be a prayer partner for you. You can come. Or the team's going to lead us. We just extend our worship in remembrance of who he is and what he has done. So, church, I'm going to ask that you stand with me, if you will. Counselors, would you find your spot? The team is going to come. We're also going to be taking up the offering during this time. You can give during this time. There's plenty of time for you to do that. And so the invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.